This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Like the mushroom that ballooned in the night, there's word the drug company Pfizer may suddenly grow a lot bigger. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Market players are focused this morning on reports that the pharmaceutical giants Pfizer of New York City and Allergan of Dublin, Ireland want to merge. Both the Wall Street Journal and the Financial Times have sources on what is by no means a done deal. Marketplace's Nova Safo is following the story. Allergan and Pfizer are both already big pharmaceutical companies selling brand name drugs. Why, Nova, would they want to merge?
Well, the shortest answer to that is that it's a quick path towards growth. Allergan is in the dermatology business. Its biggest seller is Botox. Pfizer's got a number of popular drugs, too. Still, its sales are down this year. One of its patents expired. But Allergan's sales are going strong and growing. And it's no secret that Pfizer's been looking for a merger. It tried and failed to merge last year with another drug maker, AstraZeneca.
I'm seeing that there are tax advantages to this deal as well.
Yes, that's right. There's a possible tax inversion here. Allergan is based in Dublin. Pfizer is in New York, as you mentioned. So it could move its headquarters to Dublin, where taxes are lower. Pfizer's management has said before that they think being based in the U.S. has been a tax disadvantage for them.
Antitrust regulators would look at something like this. What are the chances it would go through?
Well, it's apparently so far a big if. As I mentioned, Pfizer has tried and failed before, and Allergan has tried and succeeded. And recently, that company has been on a bit of a deal-making binge. Its management bought up several drug makers. It sold part of its business. But the talks are still reportedly preliminary, so there's still a long way to go here.
All right. Marketplace's Nova Safo, thank you very much. Now let's check the numbers. London's FTSE is down 0.9%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down in the 0.4% range. The 10-year Treasury yield is down at 2.09%. We get the latest readout this morning on the headline indicator about the country's economic health. Gross domestic product, and the people who put GDP together also struggle about how to account for the rhythms of the year, so-called seasonality. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein now.
There's a simple way to understand seasonality, says Guy Labau with Janney Montgomery Scott.
Let's say I just looked at unadjusted retail sales in December, and it's up 10% from November. I think the economy was doing spectacularly, when in reality, that's just a matter of the calendar.
Labau says the idea behind making seasonal adjustments is that you're trying to get at the underlying strength or weakness of a particular phenomenon. When it comes to GDP, the federal government's applying this concept to the whole economy, says Jim O'Sullivan with High Frequency Economics.
Which gives you a better indicator of what to expect over the next year? Is it on average what's happened over the past year? Or is there a bit more information suggested by the last, say, 2 or 3 months?
For his money, O'Sullivan thinks if done properly, a seasonally adjusted estimate will give the government the best available handle on the economy. But seasonal adjustment can be like a recipe, where not everyone agrees on how much weight to give each ingredient. That's where seasonality can be like chocolate chip cookies. Awesome idea, unless you use too much salt. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
Notice how quickly it got dark last night. Retailers wait all year for what is almost the holiday shopping season, and they're armed this time with extensive data on us. New research shows the online and in-store shopping blending in some interesting ways. Marketplace's Mark Garrison reports.
There's a big shift happening in how marketers and companies think about the impact of online holiday shopping. Kit Yarrow is a consumer psychologist.
In its infancy, retailers naturally looked at it as either they're in a store or they're online. And this is the year, I think, where everybody understands that it's really not an either or, it's a both always.
A few years back, brick-and-mortar retailers fretted about showrooming, where shoppers went to stores to look at products but then headed home and bought them online. Now, something new is going on, too. Rod Sides is vice chair of Deloitte, which is just out with a new study on shoppers.
69% are actually doing what we call web rooming, which is doing a lot of research online and showing up in the store to find the product. So it really is interesting in terms of how the digital space and the physical space is blended now in the shopping experience.
Deloitte forecasts respectable holiday sales with growth of up to 4% from last year. But online sales are growing faster than brick and mortar. Amazon's hiring 100,000 seasonal workers, 25% more than last year. Traditional retail hiring is largely flat or down.
Holiday hiring is shifting away from stores and into the warehouses.
John Challenger's company, Challenger Gray and Christmas, tracks this trend.
For workers, it means different types of work. It doesn't look as though jobs are really netting out, disappearing, but you may be sitting on a phone in front of a computer desk rather than in front of a cashier going forward.
Challenger says online growth is also creating higher-paying jobs in digital security and marketing. One trend that got a lot of attention in recent holiday seasons, stores opening on Thanksgiving Day, which drew criticism for dragging store workers from family. This year, more shoppers will stay home and shop on their smartphones, says Adobe's Tamara Gaffney.
For shoppers on Thanksgiving Day, they find the best thing for everyone is to pull out the mobile phone or the tablet, enjoy the football game, and continue to take advantage of those great deals.
So this year, expect a hefty side of mobile commerce along with your family's turkey. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison for Marketplace.
And in the last few minutes, authorities in China published outlines of the next five-year plan for the world's second largest economy. Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz is plowing through that right now. It is a huge deal. Like how huge? Huge. Like China huge? Yeah, China huge.
Like China huge?
Yeah, China huge.
Oh, that's really big.
Actually, that's part of the dialogue and a kind of music video thing the Chinese government prepared in English to make the point that this new five-year plan will be huge. You're welcome to go to marketplace.org and look for our headline, Bizarre Campy Song Explains China's 13th Five-Year Plan. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.